Happy Pentecost to you. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord be with you. Amen. So today, let's talk about the word power, about the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in the Christian. Is there power at work in you, incalculable and immeasurable, beyond what you can even write down? Well, let's take a look today at the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the Christian for your empowerment in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when we think about power, that's really the one thing we need in life, isn't it? Because we're facing against many enemies, says the Scriptures, that are very strong. The forces that are arrayed against us are great. Let's just refresh ourselves in that briefly here for a moment. In Revelation chapter 12, you can see if you can tell me the first power arrayed against us. John says, another portent, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems upon his heads. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. So who's that? That's the devil, right? So the first thing that we are arrayed against in the enemies, as the Scripture says, is the devil, a 7-headed dragon of great strength. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven. What's that? Angels, right? He led them and seduced and brought them into rebellion against God the King. Then we read slightly after that in Revelation 12, verse 17, that he tried to destroy Christ. Christ escapes and ascends to the throne of God in heaven. And then we read in verse 17, then the dragon was angry with the woman who bore the child, that's the church, and he went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. So who is he making war upon? The church. He's making war upon you. And that is a fierce dragon. He breathes fire. He is Leviathan. So we don't want to underestimate him. We don't want to overestimate him, but we don't want to underestimate him either. He is a great, powerful enemy. And then the second thing that we're contending against over here is found really in the next verse. Something he does on the earth. It says, and I saw, says John, a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems upon its horns and a blasphemous name upon its heads. And it says, it also waged war. It was allowed to make war on the saints. Who are we speaking about there? You guys know if you went to Wednesday night. We're talking about the Antichrist, right? And the Antichrist is also a great power that is arrayed against us. It comes in 2 different forms. You can't see this far, but there is a beast. That's the worldly powers of Antichrist. We see that at work in the world today, trying to drive Christians to prison, drive them out of the public scene, to get rid of Jesus being preached as the only way. I mean, what kind of world are we living in today? Pretty nuts, right? A man is now called a woman, a woman's called a man, an I is called a they, and a they is called an I. So we've got the worldly Antichrist that's warring against the church, says the Scriptures. And then the other appearance, the way that the Antichrist works, is through the woman seated on the beast. Who's that? False church, the apostate Christianity. She is much more beautiful. She seduces with bewitching, seductive sorcery powers, that is false doctrines, demonic lies. And some are easy to distinguish, some are hard to distinguish, and she wages war against the church, and in her is found the blood of the saints. And so the false church through the ages has attacked and waged war on us. That is a force to contend with that is mighty. The other thing that we fight against as Christians, I put it up here as a snake. That is actually the sin that is living inside of us still, that we've inherited from Adam. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. He says, when I want to do the right thing, what happens? Evil lies close at hand. Don't you feel that? When you want to go after what's right and valiant, you're seduced towards the bad by something, he says, it's still dwelling in our flesh, in our members, that wants us to war against what we internally, spiritually, really believe. And so there is war in our flesh. That's a strong force to contend with indeed. And then also the scripture says that we have to contend with the force and the power of death itself. If you think of Psalm 49, it says, though a man may do well for himself and people be praised, and he gets praised for being happy and doing well for himself in this life, yet he will go to the generation of his fathers, where he will never more see the light. Man cannot abide in his pomp. He's like the beasts that perish. So death comes to all. So these are very strong, what? Powers, right? Forces, strengths that are marshaled against us like armies. The devil's army is called principalities, powers, world rulers of this present darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there's so much strength, power, might, and force on this side. If you don't have a helper, you're in big trouble. You are mincemeat and you are toast. That's the script. That's the spirit speaking through me. You're toast, basically, in a way of speaking. So what do we need if we're going to win against all these things? What do we need? Power. And power with a person. And who is that? We're talking over here, of course, Jesus Christ. But we're going to talk about today, especially, the power of the Holy Spirit that has been sent to us. And what kind of power is he? He's a friend. Jesus says this. Let's open up and read here in John chapter 16:5-7. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going away. Very soon, he's going to go up to the Father after the cross. He says, and I'm going to him who sent me. And because I say these things, sorrows filled your hearts, because you're going to be sad I'm going. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go away, when I get up there, I will send him to you. So who do we get when Jesus sends to us the counselor? A friend. And what kind of a friend is he? What does he have with him? Especially we're talking about today. Power. You have a powerful friend who is for us in Christ to give us the victory over all these. Now, what kind of power is he? Now, first of all, is he just an active force like the Jehovah's Witnesses say? No, he is a person, right? Remember, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, and Peter says, you've not lied to men, but to God. So this is the third person of the Trinity, God's own spirit. What kind of power does he have? Well, when God created the world, remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God created the Father through his word. He spoke the world into existence. That's Jesus, right, Arlene? The word of God. And what is the word? It's his breath coming out. And what does the breath mean? His spirit. And so God the Father created everything that there is through Jesus Christ's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You want a friend today? This is the one. He's got the power to do anything, to conquer even all these. Let's consider then, is his power, though, for you? Is it on your side, even in you? Well, let's consider the Old Testament. What happened there? Put power over here. That's a lightning bolt. Does that sound good to you? Remember when Samson was going down to Timnah? He was going to take a wife. And he's in the wilderness on his journey there down to Timnah. What roars against him? A young lion in the strength of its virility. It comes against Samson, and what do we read? He tears the lion asunder with his bare hands. How does he do it, though? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he grabbed that lion and killed it with his own fists. Think about that. The power of God, he empowers his saints, right? The Holy Spirit empowers God's people to get done what they need to do for victory. So is that power with you? How does he especially empower you? Says the scriptures. Well, by giving us the scriptures. And what did he do? How do we get this Bible, which is physical evidence of the Holy Spirit today? How do we get this book? 2 Samuel, let's see what David says. David says, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is upon my tongue." So that's the Holy Spirit at work in King David to give us a large portion of this book. Who wrote this book? Men of old, and as Peter says in 2 Peter, he says, no prophecy of Scripture came by the impulse of man, but men moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. So I have physical evidence in my hands right now of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's put into your hands this book. And what is this book? It's Excalibur. It is the sword of the Spirit, says Paul in Ephesians 6. A sword like none other, that no force of the enemy can withstand or overcome. And as Martin Luther said, if you go against the devil with the word of God and something else, you're in trouble. But when the word of God alone is on the battlefield, he trembles and shakes, because this word is Excalibur. It always triumphs. So is there power on your side today for you? So far in times past. And what's the special thing that the Holy Spirit has done for us to put power into our lives? He gave us Jesus Christ, right? The second person of the Trinity. Yeah, you think when Jesus came to be amongst us, he came by his own power. Do you ever think that way? Because he's the second person of the Trinity. He's God. He should be able to do all these things himself. And he could have. But do you know that basically everything Jesus did was by the power of the Holy Spirit? When Jesus was born, how did he get born, Zuleika? The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, overshadowed her, and he was conceived. Then when Jesus was baptized, what do we read? What do we read, Sammy? The Holy Spirit came down how? In bodily form as a dove, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit then led Jesus Christ out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So was Jesus leading himself? He's the shepherd, but the Holy Spirit was the one that was leading Jesus. And when he came out of the wilderness, having conquered the bad guy, it says he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit unto Galilee. When Jesus went to preach, do you think he did that by his own power? It says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to the synagogue, just like we're at church today. And it was given to him the roll, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the scroll and he reads to it. He finds the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, etc." And Jesus closed the book, gave it back, and said, "This day that scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the power to preach." So when Jesus then went out, he healed people with great miracles. How did he do that, Alice? By the power of his Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, Peter says that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the enemy. So he healed by the Holy Spirit. He also cast out devils by the Holy Spirit. It says, if it's by the finger of God that I cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus even went to the cross by the Spirit. Did you know that? In the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. So you'd think Jesus went there all on his own, but it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he offered himself. And so the Spirit worked to save us through empowering Jesus Christ for his ministry. When Jesus was raised from the dead, who did that? God raised him. Jesus says, I also raised myself. But it also says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And so power is at work. Say the word power.
Power.
Say the word might.
Might.
Say the word great force.
Great force.
Is that force in you and for you? It's already been active in this way, but let's consider, how has it come into your life personally? Well, where's the next one here? He has come into your life personally by giving you, by giving you the gospel, sending you preachers with tape like this, who even in the midst of a sermon has still the wits to put this together. He sends to you preachers. Jesus said, stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. So the power of the Spirit is in a preacher of the truth to deliver to you what Jesus accomplished on that cross. That Christ died for our sins. That he rose again from the dead on the third day. And you believing on him are saved. So is that power? There's power at work today. He then creates faith in you through the preaching of the word, right? For faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. So is there power at work in you right now, Sonia? Have you believed the message of the gospel? Then there is immeasurable power in this woman over here right now that can conquer the dragon, the antichrist, sin, and death inside of you to give you a conquering victory and triumph. That's the Holy Spirit's work, to put those things in you. Not only so, but what else does the Holy Spirit do to you when he saves you? I have here the picture of a castle. Beautiful castle. What does the Holy Spirit do when he saves you? Greg, what's he do? When he baptizes you and you believe on him, he comes to what?
Your heart.
Live inside of you. He resides in you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? What is it, Neil? By the law or by hearing with faith? By hearing with faith, you receive the Spirit. And how about this one? Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says it's through baptism as well, or Peter there. And so the Holy Spirit that hovered over the surface of the waters at the beginning of time, through whom all things were created with his power, lives inside of the Christian. That's why Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's better because if I go away, I will send him to you. He'll reside in you and you'll beat every one of these enemies, hands down, 100%. Because his power, the power of God, is living inside of you. So he's living inside of you. You've become a fortress, a castle, a royal residence, a temple where God himself lives inside the Christian. So you should know today the power that's at work inside of you, says the Holy Spirit. What does he do then for us? He is can you see that far? A shepherd. Romans chapter 8 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if you're a son of God, then you're led by the Holy Spirit. So think about that. He's guiding you through life. We're like, oh, how do I find my way? How do I direct my course? What am I going to do for the future? But you have someone inside of you, I want you to know today, who knows the way. All you have to do is keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit guides you through life. I've been, as you know, through ships, adventures, good times, dangers, a great marriage with Beth, a dangerous delivery for Naomi. I've been through attacks from certain church authorities in various places. I've been saved through various evil people over here, given a good life. I have a house, a home, a wife, a child, even a boat. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I get home at night after a sail, and I'm like, where did all this come from? Where did all this arrive into my life from? I didn't do anything. All I do is just follow Jesus, and somehow this has all just manifested itself. But that's the Holy Spirit. He leads the people of God. And who is he leading you by? Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes on him and you will attain to the finished product, which is heaven and the kingdom. So think about the power of the Holy Spirit working to guide you today. For a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I've preached to you now for how many years? 16 years? Seems like 30 years, right? Seems like 30. But I've been here 16. I've had a hard time a lot of times, but I'm still here. Why? The Holy Spirit is keeping me. And he's still giving me the strength to preach. That's great. Another thing the Holy Spirit does for us is he amplifies our prayers. You can see that? It's a microphone. So your prayers might kind of be like this at night. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. What's it sound like to God? The Holy Spirit takes the microphone.
Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me.
I woke you up with that one, right? The Holy Spirit makes powerful your prayers. We don't know how to pray as we ought, says Paul in Romans chapter 8. But the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and he intercedes for the saints with sighs too deep for words. So he is lifting up and empowering you, even when you're weak in your prayers, to make your prayers mighty in God's ears, to then bring down a mighty blessing to strengthen you for the day. Another thing he does is, since life is very difficult for us, right? You know, we're very blessed by him, but it's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. I myself at times get down and discouraged. But who is there to help empower me for courage again? It's the Holy Spirit. So I have a picture here of a father lifting up his son for new strength. That's what he does for me. The other day I was a little down, and God spoke to me through Beth. And she said, Greg, you got to put away this idea that you're not affecting enough or as much as you want to do. That's dishonoring of God, Beth told me yesterday morning. She said, you've got to believe that the word of God that you're preaching never returns void, that it is always prospering in the thing for which God sends it. And I was like, oh, you're right. I thought about that all day. Through the word brought to me through my wife, God encouraged me. That's what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do. He's an encourager. He's a comforter, especially by the word of God. For the Holy Spirit, whom I send to you, Jesus says, will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you ever ask the Holy Spirit a question? God, Holy Spirit, what should I think about this? What insight do you have for me? What encouragements do you have for me? Here's a thought. Why don't you go to the Holy Spirit today and say, Holy Spirit, what scriptures apply to my life right now that might encourage me for what I'm going through? Because I'm sure you're going through a hard time, whatever it is. And then let the scriptures flood into your mind. Because your teacher will not hide himself anymore, says Isaiah 30. But you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right hand or to the left. So he's an encourager to you. That also is a power we need to keep running, to keep going, to attain the prize. So the Holy Spirit also then puts into us the fruits of, let's put it over here, he puts into us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What is that one? Who can recite it to me? The fruit of the is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Oh, I missed one. Self-control. You threw me off there. But I think about this work in Beth's life. You know, she just got back from Boston. She's been worn out. She's not feeling well, dizzy, nauseous. And you'd think this girl's down in the dumps. And it's been tough physically. I'm driving her home on Tuesday from the airport, and we're getting close to our house. I'll tell you, the exuberant joy coming out of that woman back there as we're getting close to the house, she's like, she's jumping up and down in her seat. I'm like, how do you have this joy? You're feeling terrible. How she has that joy? The Holy Spirit. That's what he's producing in us. He's making that effusively, effervescently flow over out of her soul despite her trouble. And I think the devil must really hate that, don't you think? He tries to beat her down, and the more he tries to beat her down, the higher she flies. He'll do the same for you. That's his work. He puts the joy and the help in you to bear all the blessings of the kingdom above. And then he puts into you also what? The word of God for living. That you live with power the life. What does Jesus say? When they bring you up on trial before judges and governors and kings and for my sake, don't be anxious what you're to say beforehand. But say what is given to you in that hour, for it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Who's speaking by me right now? I don't have a manuscript up here. Who is giving me the words to address you? It's the Holy Spirit. I'll just put them into you as you go. Don't you find that when you don't know what to say and you just step out and you start speaking for Christ, out comes an eloquent word that you couldn't have even written? That's the Holy Spirit empowering you for a life. And daily he's changing you into his likeness as you behold Jesus Christ from one degree of glory to another. That's the Holy Spirit's work inside of you to make you like Jesus. So to get all these things done, and I got one more to go down there, but when you get all these things, how do you have all these things work strongly in your life? You gotta be in the place where he's active. Some Christians in these days, I tell you, are wandering away. They're not coming to church. They're not in the Word. They're not in prayer. They're not taking the Lord's Supper. And so they're getting weaker. And if you get weaker, you become more susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. You're in the right place. If you want these things to be strong and mighty in you, just simply do this. Put yourself in that place where he operates. He operates in Christian fellowship, in the preaching of the word, in the reading of the scriptures, in prayer, in the Lord's Supper, and in putting your hands to the work of the kingdom. And he will make manifest these things with stronger, greater power, making you like Christ and making you run for the prize. Which leads us to the last thing the Holy Spirit does. Get another piece of tape. These things are crazy. He is the God of all hope. The Holy Spirit's special job inside of you is to keep hope alive and bright. These guys want to rob it from you, make your hope dim. The future's grim, it's dim, it's gloomy, and it's doomy. But the Holy Spirit says, no, it is bright. You're running for the prize, you're running for the kingdom. For since we've been justified by faith in Christ, we rejoice also in our hope of sharing the glory of God. The time is coming for you, for the saints to receive the kingdom. A crown of righteousness shall be granted to you, says the Holy Spirit. So keep running for the prize. You've been sealed for the day of redemption through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and he's guarding you for that day. And on that day, says Romans chapter 8, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit which dwells within you. And so that's the hope of the resurrection, that the God of all hope is now inspiring you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So, concluding word for today on this Pentecost Sunday is it's all really about power, isn't it? These guys on this enemy side are very strong forces arrayed against you, but they ain't got nothing on you when your friend is the Holy Spirit. You are the people of God. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Removing the Root of Bitterness, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday.